Dear friend, today is the 16th of June, the year 2011, and we are in the health retreat at Nerthurst, England. Before we continue the session tonight, I would like to invite three sounds of the bell so we can come back to ourselves, feel free, and enjoy the present moment. Session tonight will be the question and answer sessions. So, is there any question you would like to bring it up so we would know how many questions we will have? Jeff?
Well, can you tell me about when we can drink water?
All right, thank you. Yeah.
And that again, I'd like to know how.
All right. Hour and a half. More than it.
I don't want to take over any questions.
Yes. Actually, we are practiced enjoy the present moment and dwelling in the present moment. We should not recall the past. But I will tell you a little bit, whatever in the past is in the past. Right? I'm here with all of you right now. I was born in the center of Vietnam, in Bình Định province, in 1964. Family of commander of 1,000 Vietnamese army. So that's why wherever my father go, we had to go with him. So we live in the military camp near the mountain. So I witnessed a lot of the bomb falling down from the mountain, the bath from 1968, 1972, under the very well-known battle. So and then the Vietnam War ended in 1975. We moved back to Saigon. After a few months, my father was imprisoned by the new government. For most of our family members, be pushed to the far countryside, the border, to work at the farmer. So we struggled, and luckily we still survived. After 8 years struggle in the new environment, we learned a lot, and I've been through. It's very difficult for studying at that time because of the discrimination policy. I ended to study at home, study by myself through the village school. By the time when I ended to come back to Saigon, I already finished. Struggle for 2 years working at the clinic. And veterinary. It's because I ride a lot of cattle, pig, duck, chicken, so I learned how to treat all of that. After a year wandering in Saigon, I got accepted into the medical school. After got the training, it luckily I graduated at the first position. So give me an opportunity, they rehire me as a faculty member to return to school, but in different division. At that time, during the middle years in the medical school, I living in the Zen monastery in Saigon with the most venerable Thích Minh Châu. I don't know you know about him. He was the professor for the Nalanda University in India from 1960 to 1962. And then before the big event in Vietnam, 1963, with the Golden Diem, president suppressed and killed a lot of monks and nuns. And he had to come back to Vietnam to help for the reorganize. And the 1964, he was the co-founder with Thay to be the president of Van Han University, the first Buddhist university in Saigon. And then after graduate from the medical school, during that time, I stayed in the Zen monastery, working at the school, and working for the charity group. At that time, no organization can do that. That work, the charity work, because the government not allowed to do so. I take advantage of the medical faculty. So I took my students out every weekend, not only to let them learn about the reality, but also to cultivate the loving kindness and compassion. So, and then I saw whatever the knowledge of medical, it not really can help the patient in the rural, in the countryside a lot. So that's why I start to learn the mental medicine, acupressure, acupuncture, and all kind of the herbal medicine. And then I work and stay in the Zen monastery until 1992, when the Vietnamese government started to open the market for the foreign company come back in 1992. So I work not only for the medical school, for the Zen monastery, for the charity organization, and now I work for the friend company that is Sanofi Advantage or Sanofi Diagnostic Pasteur. After 2 years working crazy like that, and my father no longer can handle the Vietnamese government, because after he got out from the prison, he saw suffer stressful part of disease and sickness. So he urged me to finish the paperwork to get out. And then we leaving country the end of 1994 to America. When we came to America, because it's too late, we supposed to leave Vietnam around 1985. But because of my mom doesn't want to go, and all of my older brother and sister, because they already married, so the government not allowed me to go. 2/3 of them had to stay in Vietnam, so that's why my mom doesn't want to go. So she's still in a dilemma. That's why we just try to delay. And the main reason, because I doesn't want to go either. At that time, okay, I really want to stay with my people, to help my students, help the poor people, and help the monastery and my first master. But and then when the time come, I saw my father suffer too much, and really want to help him. So that's why I agree to finish all the path of everything and go. Because we came to America too late, so the policy to support for the a political refugee no longer there. So I had to go back to school, find a job to help to pay off on the airplane ticket, settle for the family, settle down, help out my younger brother and sister. So, and then I think if we had to go back to the school, I had to find the new career. So in the future, I can help for the Buddhism, especially for the Buddhism in Vietnam. in the old time, the Buddhist temple had to be based on the agriculture. They make soya bean, they plant rice, they do the tofu or something like that. Now I want to either do the education or healthcare. That means we want to have the medical setting, a hospital, or the to accommodate, to treat for the elderly people, something like that. But then I saw the benefit of the herb or medicine. It's too great. And at that time, no country to convert the regular herb or medicine into the tablet or into the extracted ginger yet. So that's why when I go to school in America, I think now I had to switch career from the medical to the pharmacy field. And with the hope that we can have a connection with the pharmaceutical industry so we can make the plan to produce the medication extract from the herb or medicine. It turned out, after a few years of studying and working in that field, I found out that's just the industry of making money and poisoning the people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I withdraw from that and I left home again after I finished all of my responsibility for my family. Then I joined the bamboo forest system in America, practicing until 2009, and I came to visit Monastery Blue Cliff and Deer Park, and then Thai and brother and sister, they really loved me for a lot of contribution during the retreat, and they invited me to come to join the winter retreat in Plum Village 2009 and 2010. Yeah, so for the last two winter retreat, I got stuck in French. And actually, the program for this retreat, originally, I prepared that to teach for the monk and the nun in the Plum Village during the winter retreat 2010-2011, because I saw in the past a lot of temple in Asia as well as in Europe and America. It's very difficult to have a monk or a nun in the Western country. But after 20 years of training, they become sick. So the capacity to perform the service to the community, it be reduced a lot. So that's why I'm really worried, not only to find a way to teach Buddhism, to encourage the young generation to join the monastic, and also to help the older generation to have a better condition, better health. And when I came to Plum Village, I saw why all the monastic is too young, 20, 22, 25, 30 maximum. And the condition for practice is much, much better than other temple. That's why all my brother and sister get sick a lot. Oh, no way. This okay, after 10 years, you don't have any capacity to serve it, to provide service to the community. So better than have to change the diet, or you have to exercise, or you have to have a correct way of living. So that's why I prepared this one in a very poor condition. We have no internet, no laptop, no library, no sort of information. So whatever I had to recall and ask my friend to send information for me, whatever to update. And lucky I can retry the information in a few weeks. And I prepared that to have a workshop every Thursday during the winter retreat. And then after I share that information to the monastic in the winter retreat, it have some abbot and abbot from other temple. They come to join the winter retreat at the Plum Village, and they say, "Oh my goodness, it's so great! Why not share this information for everyone?" So that after they finish the winter retreat, they went back to their temple and they invite me to go to share with their temple, and the words of mouth is just transferred from one temple to the other temple. So that's for the last 3 months. I go continually from one temple to the other temple. So far, 14 centers, continually, without any break. So that's why today, Jeff, he met me in Plum Village twice, right? And the first time, because I didn't know him either. And one of my younger brother, he is American, but he have two nationalities, his friend and the U.S. He the guest master, so he told me, Thay, the brother, I have a guest, so he have a conditions. Can you help him? So that's why I met Jeff. And then I show him the technique to half for his condition and some information. So he said, "Okay, it's good." So he initiate, "How about, okay, we will have that information to share to the Sangha." I say, "Okay, if you can set up and if I have a time," because I cannot promise. At that time, I get stuck in the Plum Village. And then the first time we planned unsuccessful because of my schedule is booked fully. And then the second time, okay, it be realized now. So that's why I'm here without you. So actually, back to the question of Jeff, we have that one we will discuss later on, but I will take that for the question and answer tonight too. Because remember, we will have the art of cooking, the art of eating, the art of drinking, the art of sleeping, breathing, all that. But you've already brought up the question, so I may tell you tonight too. It have two controversial advice. For the Westerner, modern doctor advise you to drink as much as possible, mm-hmm. a glass of water, right? And why we have to do that? Did your doctor tell you? Mm-hmm. No? No, it must have a reason. Otherwise, okay, you don't do it. You must have
to avoid dehydration.
Yeah. For dehydration?
Against dehydration, yeah.
That's not important. Because we are living in the cold weather, not in the hot weather, like in India or Vietnam or Thailand or Laos. You see? So that's not the main reason.
To cleanse.
To cleansing, to detox, right?
Yeah.
Do you think it makes sense or not? Okay, think about that. It makes sense or not? Tell me. Do you think it makes sense or not? And when it makes sense, and when it not?
It makes sense when it costs water a lot, which is what happened to me. So I thought I better cut down.
You can work when you have.
Right, but that's not on.
It's a lot.
That's not on the daily basis.
No.
Mm. And actually, okay, if you say so, it's incorrect either, because when we have a vomiting or diarrhea, if we just substitute the water only. Because when we vomit or diarrhea, we not only lose the water, but the electrolyte lost through that too. Mm. So the concentration of electrolyte in your body now low than normal. Mm. If you just keep resupply or drinking the water only, that concentration be diluted out. Yeah. So it much lower and you got into the situation of more dangerous, you see? So actually, that's not true. And for
I just said this one because my dad had diarrhea recently.
Right, drink a lot, but that
but
it just it had to drink electrolyte, or they had to mix with sugar and table salt.
Oh, wow.
So at least it balance. Right. Otherwise, if you drink a lot of water, okay, you dilute out, and okay, you for the elderly people, the potassium it drop down, and they have a heart attack, or the muscle twitching. You see, yeah, that's why because sometimes okay we have information but incorrect and we don't think about it, and that's the basic information. And for drinking a lot of water too, you see, for detoxify, right, your body to detox. But when you drink the water, to detox where? In your body, but where? We have whatever we eat. It had to go into your stomach first, right? And then the gallbladder, the liver, had to secrete the enzyme and the fluid. And then the pancreas had to secrete the enzyme to break down. And it had to go to the small intestine and the large intestine. So the toxin remained in the GI tract, the gastrointestinal tract, in the mouth, right? So if you're drinking water only, and that water will what? You eliminate the water through the urinary tract, not through the gastrointestinal tract. So the nutritional and the toxin remain in your small intestine. It had to penetrate the intestinal wall to the bloodstream, right? So if you drink more water, that means if in the blood circulation the concentration of toxin less, the concentration of toxin in the GI tract higher, the gradient, it will pour the toxin from the intestinal into the blood. Right? If you say, okay, suppose I do correctly, when I drink the water, it just penetrates the water only, it not carry on the toxin, supposedly. So when the water get in through the intestinal wall into the bloodstream, okay, now it clean up all the toxin inside the cell, in the blood cell, right? Not talking about the normal cell, just talking about the blood cell only in the blood circulation. You get to that point, right? So whatever toxin be eliminated through the kidney and to the urine out of your body. So after that, the toxic level in the circulation is lower, right? So when the toxin level in the circulation lower and the toxin in the normal cell, in your flesh, in the GI tract higher, where it go? It go back into your bloodstream again. You see?
If you drink water.
Right.
Okay. Can you just, sorry. Basically, you drink, just see if I understood. You drink,
right. But it's going to that. No, it had to go to your intestine first. Right. Right? Because no way it get directly into your bloodstream. It had to go into your intestine first.
Right.
And from that, it penetrates through
I understood now. Because
to get into your bloodstream.
Yeah.
But I said that the toxic level all the way high at in the GI tract.
Yes.
So if we not clean up our GI tract, the concentration of the toxin will higher in here.
Why will it make it higher?
Because of the where the toxin come from.
Oh, I see.
From your food, from your rub, from whatever you eat. Whatever you drink, the toxin may penetrate through your skin, through your nose, but it minimizes. Become why? Because we have a filter, we have a whole filling in here, and we have a many, many different mechanisms to protect. It have had the, you see, we have the hair, we have the skin, and we have like what a serpent, look like the oily, right? So to cover that. And then we have many different layers below that to protect whatever the toxin penetrate. Unlike when we have a hot shower, when we are in the spa, when we are in the steam, we will explain that later on. But normally the toxic toxic level in the skin will lower than in our GI tract. Our GI tract is the most high concentration toxic level. That's why we have the disease in our GI tract more commonly. Most of the disease come from here. And then from here, it goes to where? It goes to our bloodstream. If we want to have a good, clean blood, we must detox the GI tract. So now, when we drink the water, the toxin in the GI tract concentration is much higher than in the blood, definitely. And so if, when we drink a lot of water, it not go to diarrhea, to flood out, unless we drink the sauce, or we drink any substance, it have an osmotic effect. Like we do the flushing when we do the enema, right? The cleansing. But now when we drink the regular water, we don't have a diarrhea, right? All that the water, it will penetrate to the intestinal wall and it go into the bloodstream because of the gradient, concentration gradient. Here, concentration is higher than in the blood. So the water will carry the toxin through the intestinal wall into your blood circulation. You see? So if it have a capacity to draw or to extract the toxin in the bloodstream, go through the kidney, through the liver, and then eliminate it through the urine, the circle still in the bad circle, because it just keep carry the toxin in the intestinal into the bloodstream. You see? And supposedly we have a cleansing the GI tract, and if we just drinking water like that, it still draw the toxin in our flesh. If we not exercise, when we exercise, it push out to the skin, to the sweat. See, but if not, okay, it will go internally. So actually, okay, drinking a lot of water that way, it not really benefit. Secondly, when we drink a lot of water, our kidney, our heart, our lung have to work more, right? Because it has to filter more. And the more it had to work, the lifespan be shorter.
Lifespan?
Right? Because instead of, okay, your heart beats only 80 beats per minute, your kidney only filter 120 milliliters per hour or per minute. Now when you drink more water, that means the volume of your blood has to increase. Your blood volume increase, your heart has to pump faster. Your kidney has to filter more, it's faster, to eliminate, and otherwise okay, you will perfect, and your blood pressure is going up. Right? So when you walk, instead of the kidney only filter 80 liters to 100 liters per day, Now they had to do 150 or 160 per day. The lifespan, we short 50%. You see? So that's why, okay, it's having no benefit. It's having no benefit at all.
So like how much do we have to drink?
That's why we will learn that. Oh. We will learn that at the end. Okay, we will use the urine, the fishing. We will modify based on the quantity, the frequency, and the color, the smell. And we will know how much is enough. That is the first thing. Second thing, we will discuss it more deeply. But when we hungry or when we thirsty, we hungry or we thirsty not only the physical but mentally. You see? So if we drink slowly, one sip at a time, and you leave it there in your mouth as long as possible. It have a time to touch to the butt on our tongue to send the message back to your central nervous system to let the headquarter know, hey, I already received the water. So by the time the water penetrates down to your stomach or intestine, it satisfies both physical and mentally equally. But if we drink too fast, your stomach, it fills up, it's heavy. But here, it's still not satisfied, so it still feels thirsty. That's why, okay, we need ask to drink more and more. And the more we drink, the faster we drink, the heavier the belly will be, but the mentally still not satisfied. The same thing like we eat. If we chew slowly, carefully, it has enough time for the buzz on our tongue and the buzz on our nose to taste and to smell and send the feedback to our central nervous system and signal, let them know, oh, I already see enough food. That's why the slower you chew, the slower you eat, you will eat less and you feel satisfied. If we eat, we chew not carefully and we swallow too fast, big, not satisfied, just keep eating. The other thing, disadvantage of drinking, if you drink 15 to 20 minutes before meal, it's good. Because it will wash out, it will help to like the lubrication our gastrointestinal, and it also stimulates the stomach to secrete more acid and the enzyme, the digestive enzyme, get ready for the meal coming. But if you drink in the middle of the meal, you see what the problem? First, if you not finish chewing and you drink or you eat soup, the liquid and the solid mix together, we cannot chew it carefully and completely. Right? Secondly, the digestive fluid will be diluted. Think about it. When you have the flour, the powder, in the kitchen, you want to mix with the water to make the bread. If you have the flour and you add the water slowly, it's clumsy and it's easier to make it, right? And the powder, it comes evenly. But if you have the flour, the powder there, and you pour the water one time and the flour, okay, it goes everywhere. It takes much more energy and time to put it together, and it not come out the good compound. The same thing in our stomach. Out here we have a 10 finger, we do all around, but it's still not really good. In our stomach, it's just squeezing a little bit only. It cannot do everything like our finger.
Mm.
See? So if we drink in the middle of the meal, the digestive fluid will be diluted and it's much harder and it takes more energy for the digestive fluid to mix with all of the food we just swallow. So if it's not mixed completely evenly, the food cannot be extract the nutritional out of that. So by the time when it goes through the small intestine, it cannot absorb much. And if not absorb much, we waste our energy for chewing, for digesting, for elimination, but not much for energy remain in our body to nourish our body. Okay? The other thing, more dangerous, if you drink the hot water or you eat hot soup, okay, but we drink the cold water. And it's worse if we drink the soft drink, cold soft drink. That means the Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or whatever have sugar in there. When we drink the cold water, you know, in our meal, if we have no fatty, no oil, it's not the problem. But if in our meal, it have fatty acid, it have oily substance, when we drink cold water, all of that one will get stuck, it's clumsy. Right?
Mm.
When the fatty acid or the oil hit the cold temperature, it not dissolve.
Yes.
So it becomes the clumsy.
Mm.
And all of that will get stuck along the GI tract and it traps all the mineral and the protein in that. That's why it becomes some stone like that. See? And when it gets stuck in the intestinal wall and by the mechanism of light extract a light, they will collect and they will invite all the amino acid, good or bad, all the mineral, all the calcium, all the trace element come to that spot to make to become the stone or the clumsy, the tumor, the polyp. Instead of it bring through the intestinal wall into the bloodstream to bring that to the side where our body needs. You see? So, and then when we drink the suffering, not only cold and have a sugar in that, it much worse because the sugar cannot dissolve with any amino acid or with any fatty acid. So it makes the clumsy because faster and bigger. See? So that is no good at all when we drink. That's why you see people eating and drinking like that. What we have?
Mm.
Big belly.
Mm.
Right? And not only that, we will learn more and more mechanism why we have a big belly. Because of the mucus secretion, because of the distension, because the water is zinc, so it extends. It makes the GI tract, especially the large intestine, expand.
Mm.
So, and then the more expansion, the more mucus is secrete, and it becomes bigger and bigger. We will go deeper on that. So, don't drink in the middle of our meal. And we were talking about what kind of drink we should drink, and what time is the best time for drinking. We will go deeper in the section of the art of drinking. And come back to your question. The first one is what? We will go that one and then we go to the second one for the mental treatment for the cancer. Because that is the second level. We have a four level of food, right? Four level of energy. And we already learned the higher level, the higher energy. So for the first, the physical, you see, you can have you have the physical attack. You may feel hurt the physical, but the second level, the sound or the color, it have a deeper, because it not only hit your physical, but it will hit your mental and your subconscious level. So it not only hurts you at the present moment, it can hurt you forever if you don't know how to transform it, right? For example, someone slap you and say you are a stupid one. They slap you only one time, maybe not hurt at all, or may it hurt, but only one time, and then it disappear, it's gone, right? But the word "you are stupid one," it's not really serious, but because it penetrates into your consciousness, into your subconsciousness, and into your stored consciousness. And whenever you hear a voice similar to that voice, whenever you see the image of someone similar to her face, and it retry, it recall, and then when it recall, you supply the energy for that, so it becomes stronger, and it hurt you more. Not only the second time. If after the second time you know how to practice, how to transform and healing, okay, it's gone. But if not after the second time, now the root of that become bigger, deeper, and stronger. You put it back in the star consciousness. Few days later, you hear another voice similar to that, and then you bring it up again, and it hurt you more. Same thing, so it can hurt you many times and at higher, deeper level. So that's why the higher energy, the higher level, the more powerful. That we're talking about the negative. But the positive, the same thing. Okay, someone may, the one love you, okay, they give you, for example, a gift, a candy, a cake, right? Say, okay, I love you. The cake you may eat and it's gone, but the word, the touching, it remains. And every time when you miss, when you feel unhappy, you recall that event, you recall that word, okay, it will encourage you more and more, right? And the more you remember, the more encouragement you have. So that's why the higher level of the food, the higher energy, the higher power. So the same thing for that. The mental formation or our belief, our mind power, it up to the third and the fourth level. So when we have any problem physically or mentally, if we know how to practice, how to transform, it have its own capacity to heal, to cure the disease. Because nature already gave us that gift think about in the normal life. When we have infection, automatically, if you don't do anything and you're strong enough, it will eradicate, it will kill the disease. When you get cut, it knows how to heal the cut. When you get broken bone, it knows how to heal the bone, right? So how can we say, okay, it cannot heal the other one? Everything, it have a capacity to do that. It's just because we don't listen to our body. We don't give it the opportunity to exercise the function the nature already given it. And then on the top of that, we try to use more medicine. We try to use more, put more toxin on our body to make a burden become more serious for our body. You see, instead of relieve the burden, support it, give time and condition, now we put more burden on its shoulder. See? But, and then whatever the function in our body, if we not use it, if we not exercise it, it will gone, or it will dismiss. Just our hand, normally, okay, we move, we work, it very freely, it's very lightly. But when you sleep, you lay down, and it block the nerve, or the blood vessel. Mm. You feel it heavy, like a ton of the stone, right? And then when we have the broken bone, we have a cast on that, only a few weeks, you feel it look like the heavy stone on the muscle is strained and the tendon is stiff, something like that. You see, only a few weeks, a few days. But how about the long time you never let our body exercise, never performing, so it will forget and it will disappear. So when we learning that and we had a strong belief like that, we should support our body and environment, the community will have another aspect to support for that, to encourage by the collective energy. But we have to be the one to initiate and work on ourselves. First, the other factor, just the support and encouragement only. But if we are not initiated, doesn't matter how much support out there, it's still not really effective. And then what is the last question?
Thank you for that. To ask for help.
Actually, this question applies for not only the disease or the sickness, but it applies for any problem mentally, the family relationship, whatever, okay, in any aspect. It's much more difficult to ask other people to change, but it's much easier for us to change, to transform ourselves. So we have to be the first one to practice at the role model. And when we're doing that, it have a many different benefits. First, for example, in this situation, you want to help your children. So you have to have the correct diet. You have to prepare the meal for them in the way you do the same thing. And if you, the first time it may be difficult, your children may not like it, but because you still insist to doing that by yourself and you encourage your children to doing that and you don't supply any other food consider no good for them, so after a few days they have to first get used to that. Secondly, because you are the role model. If you do that by yourself first for a while, successfully, and then they can think, yeah, mom have that problem, and now mom change the diet or change the practice, transform that. So it have the educational message, and also invisible energy, because when you change your lifestyle, change your diet, change your attitude, the magnetic field, electromagnetic field around you will change. And by that thought, it will embrace and change the relative, the one you love, the one to live around you, unconsciously, unconditionally. But if you're asking the other person, the other party to change, and we are not support for that, we are not do ourselves, it's very difficult. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, actually we have many different techniques. One of that, we go deeper in the technique of breathing and contemplation. Yeah, because as we already studied this morning about four different levels, because we have the problem right now with the physical, right? Whatever condition, cancer, sickness, obstruction, initially, most of the time, 70% minimum come from our internal mental formation, knot, conflict, obstruction. But because it's too subtle, it's invisible, and we are not really mindful to recognize that in the early stage. So and then after that, it goes to the second stage that is abnormal in the physiology, but because it's still too subtle, very difficult to identify, so we miss that one. Until it goes to the third stage, the physical, and now say, hi, I have a tumor, I have an obstruction, I have an imbalance, I have a this, I have a that, right? So that's why when we want to revert the process, if we are strong enough, we can follow the same pattern. That means we use the mental formation, the thought, to correct that. But because most of us not practice well enough, if we already practice well enough, we already recognize that from the first day already. So now we take advantage on the mutual relationship between the physical, physiology, and mentally, psychology, going hand in hand together. So we have to use all of that in the same time. That means, for example, the exercise. If we just follow the gesture, the posture only, we don't gain much benefit. But if we combine between the posture, the physical movement, with the breathe in and breathe out, because our breath is the intermediate connection between the physical and physiology. It's half automatic, half controllable. See? So when we apply, when we use the technique of breathe in and breathe out correctly with the posture, with the physical activity, we can guide, we can lead the qi and the blood go to the place where we want. But if we want it more correctly, more precisely, more powerful, we have to use our mind power. That means our consciousness, our intention, direction. We direct the direction where we want the key and the blood together with the movement of our physical gesture and posture. So the same thing when we do the treatment, we have to incorporate between the physical level, that means the diet, the cleansing, and we have to incorporate with the breathing technique to eliminate the toxin, the carbon dioxide, and other radical, and also we saturate the oxygen as much as possible to the tumor cell, to the one be obstructed. When we're doing that, the normal cell will grow faster and the abnormal cell will be suppressed. And also, at the same time, we use the mind power to scan, to clear any obstacle, any obstruction, any isolated area resulted, and send the loving kindness energy to that to eradicate or to revert the process and supply the energy for our body. Yeah, we have to combine three together. And many people can do in that. Many people can do in that. If we do in that, the early the better. Some people are actually half of people, they already suffer through, especially for the cancer, because at first stage they don't have much support information, they don't have much encouragement, so they had to be follow the conventional therapy at the radiation and chemotherapy, and you know, terrible side effects come out from there, right? And after 6 months, a year, 2 years, something like that, unsuccessful and suffer from side effects. And finally, okay, they switch to the alternative therapy. So in that situation, their body had to suffer a lot more because of the toxin from the chemotherapy, from the radiation therapy. So it takes longer time and it's much harder. But still successful if you insist to doing that, and if you practice well enough. Other question? Let's see. If not, we will go to the next one.
Question.
Oh,
just holding on from that. So yeah. You said this morning that.
Say that again.
The autoimmune kind of syndromes.
Yes. Actually, first, because we had a lot of the heavy metal in our food, especially the preservative, aluminum. Aluminum is the number one cause for Alzheimer's. Secondly, in our diet, we eat most of the time eat the dead food, the processed food. It have no life force. That's why our mind it be blunt. The other thing, because we worry, fear, anxiety, and projection our thought too much. Because when we worry too much, when we in anxiety, as I explained this morning, every single thought, that means okay, we send out a wavelength and energy, and the more we worry, the more we thinking unconsciously, the more energy lost in that process. So that will contribute to Alzheimer's. The other thing contributes to that is our diet of the bad oil or the chemical and the additive, the color. When we eat the processed food, it have the color and the additive, the ingredient. And if our body not able to eliminate that, it will become some flat and it will get stick in our blood and it goes to the brain and it make all the memory cell become a mass or what we call the flat. It look like our network of the electrical wire when it overheat and all the plastic cover melt out. So now, okay, it become mess up. The same thing in our brain. So if we want to prevent that, we have to change our diet. Eat fresh green vegetable. Try to minimize sugar. Sugar is the number one killer of the 19th and 20th century, especially the 20th century. Because the sugar, it not only when we have a new process of bleaching and filter that to make it more concentrated. Instead of the natural sugar, only 75% of sugar, of glucose. Now, when we do the bleaching and the concentrate technique, it go up to 90-95%. So when it hit our blood, it go real high. When it's too high, it make our mind scattering. And the electrical signal, it become messed up. And after that, because it is fat sugar, it is a mono sugar. So when it high, it drop down right away. So the level, it fluctuate. When it hit too high, our body just try to adapt to that. And it drop down right away. And when it drop down, have no sugar to supply for that. And then it will be blunt. It rather than have a regular, not fluctuate. Our brain cell gets used to that level. And now it hit real high, it damaged at the high concentration. And then the brain cell try to adapt to that. And then it drop down right away. And when it drop down, not enough energy to supply for that. And it damaged. Up, damaged. Drop down, damaged. So it damaged both sides. So sugar is the other one. And fatty acid or any animal product, any milk product, any zinc product.
Zinc.
Because it have, as we already learned, the property of expanding. Mm-hmm. You see? So that's why, okay, when you drink too much water, when you eat too much zinc product, it makes your body puffy. Mm-hmm. It makes your belly bigger. Mm-hmm. Because every single cell expand. Mm-hmm. So the same thing everywhere. But in our brain, it is a fixed space. Mm-hmm. Our belly can extend because this is a muscle. Mm-hmm. Our thigh, our butt stop can expand easily. It's a little bit more heavy, a little bit more uncomfortable, but it's okay. But when it goes up here, this is a vacuum space. When we have expand the pressure, expand the space, it becomes the pressure, and the cell, it gets stick together. Mm-hmm. Instead of it separate, now the cell expand. It press together, so it's clumsy. Mm-hmm. So it mess up the signal. You see? So many, many different mechanisms, but based on the diet, more important, the projection of our thought, it waste of energy, but it acceptable because everyone almost having that. But compare between the people have a correct diet, like the Easterner, they eat less animal product, they exercise more, they don't eat much sugar, they don't eat much milk product, they don't eat cheese, beer, meat, see, so they don't have that problem much. But for the Westerner, meat and all the milk product, cheese, fromage, beer, sugar, and that is the cause of most of the disease.
The processed foods. So aluminium is
it may have in the preservative.
Mm.
It have in the additive.
Mm.
It may have that in the food can. It may have in the aluminum foil,
mm-hmm.
we cover. It may have in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they use that to before they use that for killing the bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now they use the chloride, fluoride, and some other nitrate. But before they use aluminum a lot, and then before it have some decade. Most of our cooking pot is made by aluminum.
Cooking pots?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now, okay, they have it in the food additive.
Mm-hmm.
Unannounceable. Because the manufacturer, they try to put in that. And they don't let you know. 100 to 1,000 different chemical in there.
In what?
In the processed food.
Mm.
So that's why try to minimize you the industrial, the processed food will eliminate that problem. Mm.
Good. I mean, it's really, I don't know.
Yeah, actually, whatever it reach to its peak, and it will go down again. You see, for example, maybe 100 years ago, the American and the European go by foot or by bicycle, right? And now, okay, we develop and okay, the industry, the new technology, okay, going up too fast, and people just follow that. Okay, we have a car, we have all transportation, and now to that peak, and now we have to go down. Okay, now we have to go, they recommend we go by foot or by bicycle again. So, and then when we have a little food to eat, we are healthy. And when we have too much food to eat, we get sick a lot. And then to a certain period, okay, people scare about that and they are aware about that. Now we try to cut and less so we will be okay. Follow the Buddhist philosophy, middle way.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really good and nothing really bad. The important message is how can we maintain mindfulness in every moment. Look back into our body, into our mind, and we will have the answer. We will have the teaching for us, have the guiding for us what needs to be done. Because sometimes when we need to eat a lot, we can eat a lot. But when we listen to our body, it said, eat enough. So we don't need to eat. It doesn't matter how much you eat. A car, you say, I need 5 liters for the 100 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
But I say, no, I need 7 to 8 liters of gasoline to ride 100 kilometers. But you say, no, I had a brand new car, the Toyota. I need only 3 or 4 liters of gasoline. So it depends on the car, depends on the generation. So the body the same. I can eat 3 meals per day. I can eat 2 or 3 bowls, but I still maintain the model for 30 years. But if I not listen to my body, and I can get fat after a week, I can gain 5 or 10 kilograms. You see? So it's not really strict, but we have to listen to our body. And when we use everything in moderation, it will help to supply the food and the energy of our body. Even though it have the toxin, the toxin will get into our body, but as I explained, if it have a low level, that work as a vaccination for our body. So our body will get used to that, and our body will learn how to adapt, how to cope with that. So it will eliminate when it had to deal with the hazard situation. And if we not, we scare everything. Impossible, because we are living in reality, right? We cannot stay away, even though we say, okay, we go to the jungle, we still cannot survive alone by ourselves. Yeah. So moderation and mindfulness is the key. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Lips and kidney stones.
If it makes the stone and it be eradicate or push out of our body, that is no problem, right? We just waste up the food we eat, the nutritional in our body. But the problem, because for example, when you drink cold water in the middle of the meal, it gets clumsy in the GI tract, right? And then when it be the free molecular, it go through the GI tract freely, and it be hit by the bile acid and by the enzyme fluid easily, and to break down, to chop it out into the smaller molecular. But when it hit the cold water, the cold water, it clumsy at the big complicate molecular, so it have a harder opportunity to be chopped off by the bile acid. So when it's clumsy like that, it will trap all the mineral amino acid and trace element inside of that, right? Because it have an affinity to extract, like the magnify. It will collect whatever the mineral, the amino acid in the meal, and it make the sediment become bigger, become harder, right? And when it doing that, it go through the GI tract much harder, and then also when that happen, or anything, for example, when we drink milk, when we eat the processed food, when we eat meat, whatever our body consider no good for our body, the first thing our body does is secrete the mucus to block that. For example, when we going out, the temperature in here warm, the temperature out there cold, the mucus secrete in our nose right away.
Mm-hmm.
If we hit the wind with the dust or the pollen in there, it secrete right away. The more we expose to that, the more mucus we secrete now. The same thing happens inside our body. Whatever food or drink our body consider no good, the first thing it does is secrete a mucus layer to protect like a filter, so that it doesn't want the other substance penetrate through the intestinal wall to get into the bloodstream. So first time when it's exposed to that substance, it secrete very thin layer of mucus. But because we're not mindful, we don't pay attention to that, and we continue to eat, to drink whatever we like. And whatever we like, most of the time, illusion, not a real. We may have the very delicious, this look good, smell good, taste good, but at the moment when we swallow through our tongue down here, it would get stuck and it pop out. How many of us dare to take it and put it in our mouth again? You see, just a few minutes ago, it's in here. It's not going anywhere. And how about, okay, about an hour later, it go down here and it chop out and it mix with our saliva, our digestive fluid, and acid chloride. Now it smells really salty, and pop, and we pop out. How many of us want to smell it? I want to ring it back. You see, it in our body. So that illusion. So, and then the second time, when we continue to put in our body that food or that drink, the more we ingest that, the more mucus is secreted out, and the layer becomes thicker and thicker. The diameter of our intestine is will become smaller and smaller. To get all the nutrition, the food pass through, it has to spread and expand it out. So that's why, okay, the intestine now, instead of small, now become bigger. And the wall, because it's supposed to be chunky, it now, okay, it expand, become thinner. So that's why we used to have the hernia. See? So when it expand more, the mucus excrete more. Before, it just the filter to block the penetration of that substance through the intestinal wall in the bloodstream. It may have a good another effect, like a lubrication layer, to make whatever going through that faster and easier. But after time, the mucus layer, it will secrete thicker and thicker. Now it becomes the obstacle, more fixture. You see, so the substance go by that harder, it get trapped easier, get stick easier. And the more it gets stick, the more it gets trapped, the more affinity to extract the other substance come by and stay there. And that's why it end up with like that. Yeah, so most of the time we have a tumor in this area, the liver, because it have no space and all, okay, it bend. And then in this corner and in the sigmoid. So the colon cancer or the GI tract disease is the first thing, the most common before it gets into the blood. If we had a clean GI tract, we will have a clean blood. But if we have a bad GI tract, the blood will be contaminated. And if our blood be contaminated, be acidic, all the other organ, all the other cell in our body will be contaminated, will be weak. That's why once in a while, we need to do fasting for purification to cleanse our GI first. When we're doing it, and the toxic level, the toxic concentration in the GI lower than in the bloodstream, lower than in the regular cell, and by the concentration gradient, it just going down and going down. At that time, we can drink water for purification. It would, but before that, it not really do anything much. It not do anything good much. All right, thank you very much. And I think we should end the session tonight. And we'll take a few minute break.